Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12, in verses 43 and 44, the last two verses of the chapter. Mark, chapter 12, from verse 43. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And our subject this evening is pride condemned, humility commended. Well, we come this evening to the very end of this chapter, chapter 12. We've spent a long time in chapter 12, but we come to the final part of the chapter this evening. And this portion of the Word of God before us from verse 38, well, really it presents a great contrast, which is very often presented to us in the scriptures and particularly in the gospels, a contrast between the religiosity and the pompous pride of the Pharisees and the scribes, and the small and yet sincere and humble service of the widow casting her two mite into the treasury. And that, as we shall see this evening, in the sight of the Lord, was the greater contribution, the greater service, the greater devotion to God. And that is what is commended, while the practice of the Pharisees is condemned. And we shall look at both these examples, the Pharisees' bad example and the widow's good example. And well, the Pharisees, these things are very solemn when we look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ describing the scribes, describing the Pharisees, describing their practices. And not only is it difficult to see what they were doing, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, beware, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the market. The Pharisees' action is not just condemned. The people are told to beware. A warning is issued. And well, that is because the scribes, the leaders, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, what the leaders did would very often influence those underneath them, would very often influence the common people. And that is why, as the Lord will say, that these Pharisees deserve the greater damnation, the greater condemnation. They were leaders, and they were giving a bad example. And it is the Lord who is saying, beware, beware, because their example will infect you. In other places, in the scriptures, in the gospels, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven, a little bit of leaven, will infect the whole lump, the whole dough that it travels through. Just a little bit of leaven. And the leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. If you just let a little bit of hypocrisy, a little bit of pride come in amongst you, well, then you are finished. Then you will receive no blessing. You will come under the condemnation of God. So beware. This isn't just a critique of their practices. It's a warning. And it's a warning to us, of course. We have to apply these verses. Beware of the scribes. And these things, well, I'm sure will be challenging for us, but we must learn them. So we read these verses. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. Well, just before we look at great detail in this passage, it's worth mentioning that very similar words occur elsewhere in the Gospels, in the Gospel according to Matthew, for example. You don't have to turn to it, but Matthew 23, verses 6 to 7, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of how the Pharisees, they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And also in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 to 7, he's instructing his disciples not to be as the Pharisees. And he says to them, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So in various places, in the Gospels particularly, the Pharisees were rebuked and condemned. And we see it again here. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. Well, the scribes would wear long white linen robes to set themselves apart from everybody else. Long robes that almost reached down to the ground. And really that was to give them a self-importance so that everybody who saw them would esteem them as important people. They were walking around as though they were royalty. They were parading themselves as those who should be admired. And they loved the admiration of the people. They loved the salutations in the marketplace, which meant that they loved receiving the acclaim of the people and the respect of the people and the admiration. People would look at them and say, wow, these scribes, these Pharisees, they are so holy. They are so religious. Let us esteem them above all other men. And that's what they loved. They loved receiving the respect, the admiration, the commendation of people. And in verse 39, we read that they loved the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. The chief seats in the synagogues, well, these would be the prime seats just in front of the raised platform where prayers would be made and scriptures were read. There were seats just in front of that place, and anybody who sat on those seats, well, they would be seen by the whole congregation that had gathered. And, well, this is what these Pharisees and scribes loved. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen as important. The most important place of the synagogue, we are right there, because we are the most important people in the synagogue. That is how they wanted to place themselves. That is how they wanted to be known. And well, of course, this attitude is wrong. And we must beware of that attitude, that spirit in the church collectively or as individuals, having this attitude of self-importance. That's a terrible attitude, believing that we are more important than we actually are. Now, of course, every member of the church, everybody is important and valuable. Of course, every member of the church is important and valuable. But sometimes people can start thinking that they are more important than everybody else in the church. They are the ones that are most important. They are the ones whose opinions matter more than everybody else's because they are more important. They are the ones who should get most recognition, most esteem for the things that they're doing, and be appreciated more than everybody else because they're very important people. And to have them working in the church alongside you, do we realize how much of a benefit that is? Self-importance. And that is a very ugly trait in Christian people, those who expect everybody else to esteem them and admire them. They take themselves too seriously and they demand that everybody else does the same. These people, well, we must beware of that Pharisaical spirit. And these Pharisees, of course, they looked like very religious people, very pious and godly, but there was so much pride. And that can be the case with us. We can look very religious, very pious. Everybody looks at us and thinks, what a wonderful, godly people we are. And yet we must beware of pride, pride creeping in as a church, thinking we're more important than we are, and most certainly as individuals. Remember the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's very important. But sadly, these scribes and Pharisees, they did think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. They wanted the chief seats in the synagogues. And the second part of verse 39, the uppermost rooms at feasts. They wanted the places of honor at banquets. And this is actually specifically rebuked and exposed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel of Luke. And we read in Luke chapter 14, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. That's the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're bidden to a wedding or any feast, don't seek the highest place for yourself. Go and sit in the lowest, and then you may be elevated. Well, in verse 11 of Luke 14, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is the lesson we should learn. That's the opposite of the Pharisees and the scribes. We humble ourselves, and that is the way to be exalted. We've picked up on this a few times in this series, but this is the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ so often teaches his disciples. Greatness comes by not seeking greatness. It seems like a contradiction, but it's a paradox, a glorious paradox, the teaching of the Lord. Greatness comes by not seeking greatness. Well, we mentioned even this morning that if you want to be right with God, if you want to be good in the sight of God, you have to admit you are not good. Well, that seems like a contradiction, but that's true. That's a paradox. We confess our sin if we want to truly be righteous in the sight of God. Well, it's the same principle here. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we remember that lesson, lest pride come over us. But we continue in this passage, verse 40. The Pharisees devoured widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. So they were devouring widows' houses. Again, this goes against the teaching of the New Testament. In the letter of James, chapter 1 and verse 27, we are told what true religion is, what pure religion is. He writes, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. True religion, according to James, was to care for those who were most vulnerable, those who were most oppressed, those who were the weakest, and to protect them from exploitation. And yet, what do we see here? What do we see the Pharisees doing? They're actually exploiting those whom they are meant to protect, the widows, the lowest in society or amongst the lowest. They are devouring the widows' houses. And we don't know exactly how they were doing it, but many commentators say that the scribes, particularly who didn't have a regular salary, they would often prey on vulnerable people to give them money. They would manipulate people into giving them money. And widows, that was one of the groups upon which they preyed. They needed the money, and they would no doubt extort those who were most vulnerable. Go to the widow's house There's no husband to protect her there. Go and take as much money. Trick her, deceive her. They were devouring widows' houses. And this was a great shame. And for a pretense, make long prayers. Well, when we read this, there's nothing wrong with long prayers, particularly. Long prayers can be good. But I think the thing that we have to take notice of here are those words, for a pretense. And for a pretense, make long prayers. So their long prayers, in other words, were to hide their exploitation. It was to hide their sins. It was to hide their wickedness. They were devouring widows' houses, which was totally immoral and totally against God's will and ways. But for a pretense to get them off the hook, they would make long prayers. See, we're not really bad people. Can I really be this bad if I make a long prayer? It was to cover their offenses for a pretense. And that is very sad. Well, again, we can apply this to ourselves. We must guard against that, of course. I've known people in the past pray very well in prayer meetings and so on, appear very pious, and who serve in the church and do lots of things. But ultimately, it was found out that they were simply covering their sins. They were doing those things so as to avoid any accusation of being a bad person, because they wanted to assuage their conscience. It was for a pretense. Some people weren't even really saved. They were using their service. They were using their outward religiosity as a cover. They didn't really have true faith. They weren't really born again, but they wanted to be part of the church. So if I just say a few prayers and if I just work hard, nobody will question me. Nobody will really probe into whether I actually have faith or not. I'll just do all these duties and I'll go on all the rotas and I'll pray occasionally. It's a pretense. It's a cover to cover what they are really like. And that is something that we have to be aware of and examine ourselves, that we are not in this category. They devour widows' houses, totally immoral, totally devoid of faith, and for a pretense they make out, they're so religious, make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation, says the Lord. And again, well, this is an irony, not a very nice irony, but the Pharisees, well, they wanted greatness, did they not? They want greatness, they want esteem, they want admiration, they want to be great. The only thing they're going to get is greater damnation, greater condemnation. Dear friends, that is what pride leads to. I want this, I want that. Give me this, I deserve this. Do you think that's commendable in the sight of the Lord? Or is it actually offensive in the sight of the Lord? Does it lead to greater condemnation? That is what these Pharisees will receive. These shall receive greater damnation. And so these are lessons for all of us. But then let us look, let us turn our sight upon a good example. We've learnt much of what to avoid regarding the Pharisees and the scribes. But verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Well, in the temple, there was a place called the women's court. The women's court. Now, both men and women were allowed in the women's court, but women could not go any further into the temple building. That's why it was called the women's court, because the women could not go any further. But in this part of the temple, there were 13 chests or receptacles for worshippers to put in their offerings, to make their contributions for the temple ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sat and he is watching how the people cast money into the treasury. And note that he is observing how the people cast money into the treasury. He can see how much, of course, but he's looking at the manner, how they are doing it. He can see, of course, their thoughts. He can see their motivations. He's observing how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Many were throwing in much money, no doubt to be seen to be throwing in much money. Many who were rich cast in much. But then comes along, verse 42, there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Two mites, that was not very much at all. A mite was the smallest coin in circulation, and a farthing, that was only a tiny fraction of a daily wage. Nothing at all, virtually nothing at all, and certainly insignificant compared to what the rest were throwing in. The rich were throwing in so much, but now comes the widow. She throws in two mites, insignificant in the sight of everyone else, but in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, this was the greatest contribution. The greatest contribution. And why is that? Well, let us read verses 43 and 44. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily, I say unto you. This is an important teaching, by the way. It's preceded by a verily. We all know what verily means. Amen in the Greek very often, or truly. It is sometimes translated, but this is a solemn teaching. Verily, I say unto you, follow this example, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Well, this is the example we are to follow. And let me just make some brief applications before we close on what we can learn from this lady's example. Well, first of all, this widow did not let her circumstances put her off her service. She did not let her circumstances put her off. She was poor. She was very poor. She only had two mites, or more or less. And you'd think because of her poverty, that would be a good excuse not to give anything at all to the treasury. She has a good reason not to give anything at all, but she does give. She doesn't let her circumstances, her poverty, put her off her service and her devotion to God. And well, this is a tremendous lesson for us to learn, because so often we do allow our circumstances to put us off our service for the Lord. It's so often even the smallest of circumstances can put us off if we are very busy or even mildly busy. How often we're put off our devotions and our prayer time. We don't have time to do it. I'm so busy. We let our circumstances affect our service and our devotion to the Lord. This widow wasn't like that. Sometimes we know of people, and we do sympathize, of course, people who live a little further away from the church, and it's quite a trip to come in and to go home at the end of the day. And people, they forsake the gathering together. They can't make it to services. And that's an example of their circumstances. We live so far away. We cannot possibly make it. We will have to miss these services. Their circumstances get in the way of their service and their devotion for the Lord. But this widow, she was in terrible circumstances, great poverty, and yet it didn't stop her at all. And she was commended of the Lord. And following on from that, secondly, it's a fairly similar point, but something that we learn of this poor widow and why her contribution was commendable was because it was a costly contribution. It was costly. The other contributions, well, the impression that is given is that, well, they could easily afford what they were throwing in. They were rich, and they were throwing in their money. You get the impression that they wouldn't really have missed that money. The rich are just throwing in. They've got plenty to spare. It wasn't a costly contribution. It's just what they can manage, easily manage. But this widow, it was a costly contribution. She of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This cost her something. And well, again, that's a lesson for us. Our service must be costly. Every aspect of our service, not just, I'm not speaking about financial giving, although that's the illustration that lends itself here, but every aspect of our service, is it costly? Is there an element of sacrifice? Is there something that we have forsaken for the Lord? Our service must cost us something if it is to be truly blessed. And well, again, sadly, sometimes we meet people or we know of people who they're willing to help every so often, but they're not really willing to sacrifice, to put themselves out for anything. They'll just do what they feel very comfortable doing. Anything beyond that? No way. They've drawn a line. We're not going to go past our comfort zone. We'll help here and there, but don't ask us to sacrifice. Don't ask us to go out of our way. That's unreasonable. But this woman, she sacrificed. Of course she did. In fact, when you read this, she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Well, you get the impression that if she had to, she would have given even her life for the Lord. Even her life for the Lord. She has that spirit of sacrifice. She gave all her living. She would give her life, no doubt, if she had to, for the honor of the Lord. Are we anywhere near that level? Is there an element of sacrifice in all that we do? Thirdly, well, she loved the Lord. She wasn't manipulated into giving this money, not like the Pharisees manipulating her. We don't read that in the text, and I'm sure the Lord would not have commended it if she had been manipulated into giving any money. This was a willing gift. Nobody had forced her. She willingly gave all her living. That is commendable in the sight of the Lord. Willing, freely giving. Freely we have received, freely give. We spoke about grace this morning. We freely give. God loves a cheerful giver. She loved the Lord and she trusted the Lord. There's great trust in what she did. How can she give all her living? How is she going to survive? Well, of course, the answer is she trusts in the Lord. She knows that the Lord will provide. She can afford to give all her living because she has a gracious God who will provide for her. And she trusts in that God. And God, I am sure, proved her on that occasion, provided for her. Again, we've been going through that series and Friday meeting of the missionaries and how much we learn from them, how much they gave. Everything that they had. And the Lord proved them every single time. The Lord provided for them because they trusted in the Lord. The Lord rewarded their faith. She of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She knows that her God will supply all her need. And in fact, well, of course, we as Christians, we know that God has supplied all our needs in Christ. But this is the contrast. True religion, the religion of the widow, and the false religion. False religion of the Pharisees. True religion, well, very often gets unnoticed. True religion is not very impressive in the sight of the world. This widow with her two mites, that wasn't very impressive in the sight of the world, but in the sight of the Lord, it was greatly commendable. The false religion, well, always seeks esteem and respect, always seeks the approval of the world. But we do not seek after that. The only approval that we need is of the Lord. And the Lord is watching us, just like the Lord was watching this widow. The Lord can see us. The Lord sees our service, not just the things that we do, but how we do it. How are we serving the Lord? Are we serving the Lord with great love in our hearts for Him? Are we serving the Lord with great trust? Are we serving the Lord with great faith? Or are we serving the Lord just to be noticed, just to get esteem and admiration? We must follow the path that the Lord has shown us. Follow the example of this widow, and then there will be commendation and great blessing. Well, may the Lord bless these final lessons of chapter 12 and help us as we continue to walk with Him.